And we're back. This is the K-Wave Radio Network. Well, not just the K-Wave Radio Network. We have got a lot of other stations that are joining us this evening. I'm Brian Perez, joined by Kathy Parrish, and we do welcome you to a tribute to Pastor Chuck Smith, live from the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. And some of the other stations that are listening to us right now, I mean, they are just all over the country.
All over the map,
yes. Yeah. We've got Denver, Lynchburg, Virginia, Merritt Island, Florida, Spokane, Washington, and just all over the place. And of course, all over the world, there is the streaming that is going on, not just here in Southern California, although there are a lot of churches here in California that are streaming this as well, including Bellflower, Chino, Diamond Bar, Downey, Barstow, Bakersfield, Santa Fe Springs, San Juan Capistrano, San Diego, Oceanside, Pasadena, Pico Rivera, Redlands, Riverside, the list goes on and on. You can see this whole list. You at home, you can pretend to be Brian and Kathy, and you can just read the list out.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing. So if you go to PastorChuckSmith.com, you will see the list of churches if you want to go to a church and watch the stream there with a bunch of other believers that are hooked up right now to watch the tribute to Pastor Chuck, which will be starting in just a few minutes. And we'll be hearing from, it's hosted by Brian and Cheryl Broderson. There's going to be music. The music lineup is really cool because it's got some of the Jesus People bands from the 70s, Love Song and Parable, Mustard Seed Faith are going to be doing some music. But then it'll come back to what we're doing now. Jeremy Camp is going to be here, Phil Wickham. Also, which Wickham did I just say, Phil?
Phil.
Okay, Evan.
Evan,
Evan,
yes.
Wickham. So Evan Wickham and Phil Wickham. Evan was at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa this morning. That was great.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he did some few worship songs, and that was really neat.
Oh, that's so cool.
Scott Cunningham will also be doing some music here. And the pastors that are here to talk or to share, these guys, many of them have known Pastor Chuck from the beginning. You know, there's Raul Reese, Jeff Johnson, Greg Laurie. They're all going to be speaking and sharing.
Sharing their
stories of memories that they had about Chuck and how he led them in the early days. And some of these guys have some incredible testimonies of, where they were and how the Lord just turned them around through Pastor Chuck's teaching.
And the thing is, too, when you hear them, you hear those stories, you can hear them more than once, but it's always enjoyable and inspiring hearing them again.
So. Right. What's also good and inspiring is people like John Corson and Pastor Chuck himself, who their testimonies, they weren't the kind of people who had these horrible pasts. You know, they weren't drug dealers and gangbangers and everything else. And that just shows that even if you don't have a wild past, that doesn't mean that the Lord can't use you. I mean, it's just testimony of the staying power that the Lord can provide. But we just hearing that we're running late. We're running about 15 minutes late. Mm-hmm. So if you're not here yet, that might be a good thing. We're waiting for you. So as soon as you walk in, we'll start everything.
Yeah. And when I came in, which wasn't that long ago, there were still plenty of...
Yes, we know. No, I'm joking.
But you did so well to stall for me, Brian.
Right.
There was plenty of parking.
Oh, good.
Still.
Good.
So,
good.
I mean, there are loads of people out there, don't get me wrong, but still plenty of parking.
I think maybe people carpooled or something, or, maybe that's what it is. They all loaded in or whatever. Or maybe some of them are just saying, you know what, they might fill up. I might as well just go to one of these other churches, and they're all over. Like I say, if you go to PastorChuckSmith.com, you can see a list of the churches all over Southern California. You can also see the list of churches that are all over the world, and literally all over the world. What are some of those countries, she asked me as I was busily looking for them. Here they are in alphabetical order. Africa, Australia, Canada, Germany, Haiti, Ireland, Japan, Mexico, the Netherlands.
Wow.
I mean, this is like all over
it's
the world.
Unreal.
Antarctica, the penguins are going to... No, I'm kidding about that one. But New Zealand, Peru, the Philippines,
Brian
Ukraine.
Brian has a thing for penguins.
I love penguins, but we'll talk about that some other time.
Okay.
But it's just all over the world. This is amazing. And
sure is.
I think right now they're starting to show the video of the paddle out, but I think we're going to cover that up with more of the interviews that Ethan Morse did this afternoon from down on the floor. So let's hear some of those right now.
Hi, I am here with my co-workers, Pete Jacobs, Russ Stevens, Hanukkah Jacobs, and we also came with Karen Lafferty today. And Karen Lafferty is the one who wrote Seek Ye First. So she's here with us today also. And we just want to honor Chuck's memory. He was a father to us. He was somebody who really gave us hands-on direction in ministry. We spent many nights talking to him late into the night about all of life's problems and solutions through the Word. And he mentored us hands-on in the early days. It was beautiful, and he was a wonderful father to us all. When my actual biological father died, I went to look for him on Sunday morning, and I had gotten there too late because I had been up all night. And I looked terrible. I was all messed up. I went and found him eating at a restaurant after church. And he was with a fancy group of people, all dressed up. And I walked in all tousled, having been up all night. And he brought me over and introduced me to his friends. He said, "This is my daughter, Wendy." And Kay agreed. And it was just the love that they showed to us was unconditional and went on for 40 years. This is Pete Jacobs.
This is the tribute to Pastor Chuck Smith live from the Honda Center in Anaheim. We are, where are we actually? Backstage, downstairs?
Yes.
I'm not sure where we are, but we do have a
around the corner
video.
We're watching this video.
Yes, from the paddle out video. They're showing it. They've got
Huntington Beach, California.
Man, oh. It just makes me really wish that I had been there that day. But
awesome. Well,
I'm hoping that they'll put this out on maybe DVD or something, or maybe it's on YouTube. I don't know, but it'd be great to watch this.
Brian, are you sure you weren't there?
I'm positive.
I got a glimpse of
somebody that...
Yeah, with a...
It wasn't me.
With a surfboard? You don't surf, huh?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
All right. Chicken.
But, yes. I just like to watch. But, right now they're showing that shot that we were talking about earlier
where
the surfers were in the water. They formed a circle. And if you look at the circle, it kind of looks like a heart, which is kind of cool.
When you see it from the... that was a helicopter shot?
Yeah, it was a helicopter shot, yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was just... amazing to see that.
Well, when they were formed in that heart shape formation, what were they doing? There was someone in the middle. Was there someone playing a guitar or something? I was trying to see when I was looking at those shots closely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, since I wasn't there, what was going on in the center of the surfers.
I don't know, but they are showing the video right now, so maybe I see... there's Joey Baran. It looks like he might be praying. Well, he's definitely splashing water.
Yeah.
Maybe that's getting everything wet, those cameras. But I guess those cameras are designed to sustain water.
A lot of water.
Seawater.
But,
look, a kayak.
Is that
a kayak?
That's
cool.
It's very cool, and I know that there was a lot of praying and whatnot going on in the middle of the formation,
mm-hmm.
right before we see the cloud rainbow.
Yeah, yeah.
So, wow.
So cool. And I just found out that the video will be posted, if it hasn't been already, to PastorChuckSmith.com. So you will be able to watch this video that we're talking about, that they're showing down on the floor right now of the Honda Center in Anaheim. And what's the latest number? 4,000? There are already 4,000 people, upwards of 4,000 people that are already logged
streaming
this right now. So it might get clogged up. So, if you're already watching, great. And I think we're almost ready to, are they ready to go to the floor? Not yet. Okay, let's hear another one of the interviews that producer Ethan Morse captured. These are just people sharing their memories of Pastor Chuck and why they came down here today.
My name is Conrad Picard. We got here about 1 o'clock. It's an awesome event. I go way back with Calvary Chapel to the days of the tent with Tom Stite and the concerts. Pressing thing I remember about Chuck is his incredible memory. I met him 3 times within 6 months to a year and a half. He remembered my name every single time. I was also amazed that I remember one Thursday night when he would go verse by verse with the Bible. We were starting with Hebrews, and he told us to open our Bibles to Hebrews and the leaves turning and everything. And then I remember he went through the first five chapters by memory, completely by memory, and we were all blown away. And verse by verse and the commentary, he just sat there and just went off and went on. And it was most amazing, one of the most amazing experiences I've had in seeing the man. And praise the Lord, he's home.
And Ethan Morse, we thank him for going down on the floor and capturing a lot of the interviews that you're listening to right now. And before he went back out there, I grabbed him and I said, you know what? Get on mic. I want to let people know who this Ethan Morse is that we're talking about. Thank you for being here today, by the way.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Kathy.
So what does it look like downstairs right now?
You know, the downstairs, of course, is where the friends and family and workers of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa are congregating. You know, if you have a red wristband, it's filling up quite nicely. I noticed the upper decks still quite wide open. If you've got a larger group, you can still all sit together. The lower decks are all kind of a smattering of chairs, but still plenty of seats. There are a lot of people outside. There's still long lines.
And go ahead.
Well, I think it's taken a while just to get through security.
Yes,
you know?
And that's why they're delaying the start, because they want to get as many of those people from the outside to come in and take up some of the seating. So that's good. That's good. Now, Ethan, how long have you been affiliated with Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa?
You know, I had the good blessing of working for K-Way for the last about 6 years or so, six or 7 years. And that's really the first time I've really came in personal contact with Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, as well as with Pastor Chuck.
And that's because you're an East Coast guy. All the Calvaries are like here in Southern California.
Yep.
But
East Coast, I'd barely ever heard of Calvary Chapel. It's interesting. I grew up, and I was even kind of beyond this generation. I kind of missed it. But Isaac Air Freight, I don't know if anybody, that was a comedy group out of Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa. My brothers listened to them. And because, you know, and they were still before kind of my time, but since my brothers loved them and listened to them all the time, I grew up just laughing along with, you know, Moses McFly and all their skits. Loved them, as well as the Maranatha. We sang out of the Maranatha Praise book in our church and stuff. So, but again, Calvary Chapel, didn't know much about, but there's a small Calvary Chapel plant in Newfane, Vermont. And my grandmother, my parents were the only ones saved in my family. And my grandmother one time just pretty much wandered into that church and ended up becoming saved. And then my uncle was saved, my cousin was saved, my grandfather was saved, all through a plant from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome.
Sure is.
I think we have some more of those. Yes, we do. Here's some more of the people that Ethan got to talk to just a few minutes ago.
Hi, this is Pete Jacobs from Children of the Day. And we were supposed to be back east, but we cut our trip short when we found out that this was going to be the day. And there's no way you could keep me away from this. This is just amazing. Chuck has been just the most, words don't really do justice, but he's been the most incredible influence, and God has used him so much in my life. There's no question in my mind that I would be in a very different place today if it were not for Chuck Smith. And I just thank God for his goodness and his grace and allowing us to be a part of Chuck's life.
This is the tribute to Pastor Chuck Smith, brought to you coming to you live from the Honda Center in Anaheim, Southern California, Orange County, right off the 57 freeway if you're still headed down here.
You know, we're so thankful that the weather is so nice.
Yes, beautiful weather today.
Because the lines, like Ethan said, are so long. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when I came in, the line was all the way down the street, and I was like, I don't know if these people walked here or what. So it's really good that we are blessed to have this weather, great weather here in Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
So
we have another guest with us right now. This is, why don't you introduce yourself, sir?
My name is Rob Branch, and I'm one of the consultants for K-Wave, helping out with the technical part, and also for Calvary Chapels, really in the rest of the United States and to a degree all over the world.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Now, when did your affiliation with Calvary Chapel start?
Oh, don't make me tell the long story. actually, I was thinking this. I was backstage listening to Malcolm Wilde practice Fool's Wisdom with Alwyn. And it was the, one of the first songs I had heard about Calvary Chapel in my Baptist church in Portsmouth, Virginia. And I didn't know the name Calvary Chapel until the mid-90s. And then I walked through the door of a church with Calvary Chapel and realized just how much of a mess my life had become. And the Lord changed my life as a result of Calvary Chapel in Lynchburg, Virginia, who's airing this right now.
Yes, yes, they are on the list.
So anyway, so that's how I became involved, and I was a broadcast engineer and did a lot of engineering kind of all over. And the Lord just led me into the ministry with Calvary Chapels for engineering. And he has just exploded the number of radio stations that carry Calvary Chapel programming.
Right.
Just from a grassroots desire of the pastors to hear their areas to hear the Word of God.
Right.
So it is amazing and an incredible privilege to be involved.
And that's like with low power FMs and everything?
Low power FMs, full service FMs, some of the very large stations, the Bridge in New Jersey. Is a substantial station. There's probably about a 4 million population reach of that station potential. It's not quite as big as K-Wave, but pretty close. One in Denver, Colorado as well, very, very large. And then there's small, low-power FM stations, the one in Merritt Island, but substantial reach for that little low-powered station originating from Pastor Malcolm's church there.
Awesome. Now, here in Southern California, in the just in the last, what, 5, 6, 7 years,
yes,
we have grown here. We just used to be the, you know, station in Orange County, L.A., San Diego, but we've expanded that into Barstow and Bakersfield and Kings County. And then not too long ago, we brought the Vegas station on board, is Kathy's.
It was really the desire of Pastor Chuck to reach the Southern California area with radio, and K-Wave was the heart of that. But then with Richard, it just sort of became spread out from there.
So. Right. That's incredible to see it all happen, and in this day and age when there's internet and everything else, but it just shows that radio is still a powerful medium.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Are we ready to go to? Yes, we are ready to go to the stage now. It looks like Love Song is up there, so let's hear from Love Song on this tribute to Pastor Chuck Smith.
It's not the way it used to be. It's very plain to see it's not the way it used to be. No, no, no.
Good evening. My name is Brian Roterson. Welcome to this celebration of the life and ministry of Charles Ward Smith, affectionately known around the world as Pastor Chuck. I wrote this out, so I'm going to read it. These are my words, though. From the beaches of Southern California to the house churches of China, from the jungles of South America to the halls of political power in the Middle East, from small towns in the heart of Russia to the islands of the South Pacific, from the British Isles to the lands down under, Pastor Chuck was known and loved. It is not often that one man comes along and impacts the lives of so many people, but Pastor Chuck, by God's grace, was one of those men. As we consider the long history of the Christian Church and the list of names associated with it, names like Billy Graham, John R.W. Stott, Martin Lloyd-Jones, G. Campbell Morgan, D.L. Moody, C.H. Spurgeon, John and Charles Wesley, John Calvin, Martin Luther, and others, we today and those of future generations would include Pastor Chuck Smith. Charles Ward Smith was born June 25th, 1927. He entered into glory October 3rd, 2013. We are here tonight to remember him as friend, mentor, father, grandfather, and pastor. In remembering Pastor Chuck, we remember him first and foremost as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in honoring him, we are ultimately giving praise, honor, and glory to the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, Jesus, our Savior and Lord. On a personal note, Pastor Chuck was my father-in-law. So my memories of him are more than as my pastor. I remember family vacations at Bass Lake, trips to Israel, and cruises in the Caribbean. I remember digging out tree stumps, building fences and patio covers in my backyard with him, and after a hard day's work, heading out to Chuck E. Cheese with my kids and their grandpa. For the past 8 years, Chuck was known around our house as Chocolate Buddy, so named by my grandson Cade, due to the fact that every visit to Great Grandpa's office resulted in a handful of chocolates. So, in this one unique individual, you had a man who baptized kings, sat with prime ministers, and filled the world with the knowledge of the Word of God, who on any given Tuesday, his day off, throughout much of the 80s and 90s, you could find him building a playhouse for his granddaughters, putting up a zip line for his grandsons, or hanging out with a band of grandkids at Toys R Us. This was Chuck Smith, an ordinary man, God's man for a generation. And tonight, we are here to thank God for him. We're here to reflect upon his life and celebrate his life. And we're going to take a journey this evening, going back several years and then working our way right up to today. And there are many that will be here at this podium tonight sharing their experiences, their stories, their love, and their thankfulness for Pastor Chuck. And so, without further ado, I'd like to ask Mike McIntosh to come up, and Mike's going to lead us in an opening word of prayer. Why don't we pray as Mike leads us, or excuse me, why don't we stand as Mike leads us in a word of prayer? As shy as Chuck was, I don't know that he'd be happy that we're all here giving him attention, but he'd want to make sure that we give the Lord Jesus Christ the attention. And I'd like to start our prayer out that way, that our hearts would be right before him. Everyone on the platform is here to honor God and lift him up. And through the life of our friend and our pastor, we realized that our lives could be used too, and he opened doors for all of us. And I would pray that you would allow God to open doors for you, and that you'd go in and share the gospel of Jesus Christ and his love. Father, as we all stand before you at this moment, this once-in-a-lifetime experience, we'd like to thank you for this man that has changed our schedules and our calendars for today, has brought us from many places, and gathered us here because of a man that loved you and that we all watched you love him back and to love us through him. We pray that we could take that example of loving and gentleness and kindness and generosity, and that we could multiply your gospel with the example that has been left by us. I pray for every pastor that is here, that you would help them stay humble and meek before you to feed the flock. And I pray, Lord, that you'd be honored right now that we're just a small portion of the fruit of our friend, Chuck. And we bless you, and we ask, and all that's going on in heaven right now, you could turn around and just say hello from all of us here and the thousands on the internet. Bless these people. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. I've been asked if I would introduce this music group. They've already been introduced, but I'd just like to say that Pastor Chuck did the wedding ceremony for Sandy and I after we had been divorced as non-Christians for about 3 years. And I broke down and was crying so hard. Love Song, as a favor, came and sang. And they sang this song called Feel the Love. And I knew two things. One, that the music I loved, it would keep me strong. And number two, I'd be in front of Chuck Smith, and he's so strong and looks like Abraham probably, that if I start to choke up, I'll just look at him. So what happened was my daughter, our daughter, who I'd been away from 3 years, came to show me her flowers, tripped over her new wedding dress, spilled the flowers. I started crying to realize my sins were forgiven, and I got her back. They started singing Feel the Love, and then I wept so hard knowing I was getting my wife back, I took her dad's arm and walked him up the altar. I really did. I grabbed him by the arm, and he didn't like me. He was out of here. So anyhow, I think they choked up a little bit that day because it was a miracle. And Pastor Chuck choked up. So have a seat and enjoy Love Song.
Well, a lot of history in this place tonight. This next song called Welcome Back was our audition song, so to speak. We'd been about 3 weeks old in the Lord, and we'd been going to the church every night we could. And we noticed preachers like Lonnie Frisbee, the hippie preacher, and others, and we thought, you know, our music would be a good fit here. So we decided to meet with Pastor Chuck, and we went out on the weekday and took a meeting and took us out to the sanctuary and began to kind of interview us. He was kind of incredulous about the idea of 3 weeks old in the Lord and hippies being on the platform. But finally he said, well, would you play a song for me? So we went out and we got our guitars and we played the song Welcome Back. And the Holy Spirit fell and Chuck's heart was deeply touched. And the next thing we heard was, can you guys play tonight? I guess we passed the audition. And we said, well, what time's the service? And he said, 7 o'clock. And we said, well, Fred Field, our guitar player, is doing time in Orange County Jail on weekends for a drug bust, but he gets out at 6. So I think we can make it. And we did. And as they say, the rest is history. Here's Welcome Back.
That's Dr. Fred Field now.
favorite song that we did, Little Pilgrim. Walking down the road of life, I find that in your heart you're just a lonely one. For you see, upon that very road, my search for good and truth had its beginning. You take a little turn to the left, and you see what that path has to offer you. Then you gotta make it back to the main road anyhow. And you have all that lost time to make up for. And it's a sad thing to realize that you're all alone, that you're on your own again. Little pilgrim, walking down the road of life, can't you see that there are so many others and they are just like you? I was looking in that same direction, but all I ever found were others who were searching just like me. And we didn't find the way or the answer to the questions that were buried deep down in our souls. We just found that the ways of men have no answers anyhow. Little pilgrim, walking down the road of life, I know that deep down in your heart that you are just like me. What you're seeking is a better way. You're reaching out for temporary resting places, and you're glad to find a little peace of mind here and there. But it won't last, no, no. You'll have to move along someday till you're resting in the arms of the only one who can help you. Till you give your heart, your soul, your body, your mind, your very life to the Lord. It's a glad thing to realize that you're not alone no more, that you found your way back home. Back home.
Good evening. My name is Tom Stipe. I was... thank you. I was at Calvary Chapel fairly early on when it was in a brand new little chapel that John Mailer, the drummer of Love Song, has always said looked like a Taco Bell. And young people were starting to come, the little chapel seated just a little over a couple of hundred. This is not my first barbecue. Young people were beginning to gather, and soon the small chapel was beginning to fill up, and we thought that the solution would be to do away with the garden area on each side and push it out, put up glass so people could sit out on the patio. And we finished that, and it seated about 600 at the time, and it was beginning to happen. Young people kept coming and kept coming, and one of my earliest memories of Chuck, something that made a real impact on me and stored something that was really part of his legacy in the hearts of myself and so many. He had a car that was being repaired down at the shop, and he needed somebody to ride with him to go pick up the vehicle and drive it back. And we turned out on the street and went up to the left turn at Fairview to go pick up this car, and he suddenly jerked the wheel to the right, pulled over into the dirt, and said, "We've got to pray." Now, an option had come up so soon after the new chapel had been built and after we had gone to the trouble of expanding it, and it was the opportunity to purchase the first 10 acres on which the buildings known as Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa now reside. And he said, "We need to pray." And so he prayed. And I'll never forget what he prayed. He prayed, "Lord, if this is just the ambition of men, close the doors. Don't allow it to happen." And of course, God did not close the doors, and the church has been there serving the community and serving the world ever since. But I realized at that moment I was in the vehicle praying with a man who was dedicating the Jesus movement to God. That it really wasn't his idea, it was God's idea, and he was just cooperating with it. So legacy is what you're remembered for. And Chuck will be remembered in so many different ways, but the historians, I think, will put a large emphasis on the Jesus movement and all of the people that came to the Lord during that time. You might be commenting, "You know, all you guys look pretty old." But that's what happens when a generation of Christians grows up. Some call it the last great revival in America. I read recently where someone said it ended in 79, but as I look around this room with all the multiple generations, I would say it's still going on. As most of you know, Chuck has been considered the father of the movement. And everywhere I go all the time, people are talking about revival. We want to see another movement. We want to see revival. We want to see something similar for the next generation. And I would say amen to that, because there are many generations represented in this room. People talk about it, revival, revival. But I'll tell you something, that Chuck understood very early on that many either don't know or have forgotten. And there's a text that goes along with this. It's in Mark chapter 2, verse 15, and it's when Jesus was beginning to call his disciples, and he was calling Matthew, and his name before his new name was Levi. And it says, "Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many." Many what? Sinners, tax collectors, and the rejects of society. See, in order to have a revival, you have to have lots of sinners. Lots of sinners. Really dirty, ugly, nasty ones. And they were everywhere. They're still everywhere. We just don't know if we want them in the house. But Jesus had a house full. And it's interesting to me that the critics, of course, the scribes, and the Israel's leaders sitting there, they were critical and said, "Well, John the Baptist and the Pharisees, they fast. They take this seriously." And Jesus refers to himself as the bridegroom and says, "Hey, there'll be plenty enough time when the bridegroom's gone, but the bridegroom is there." And Jesus is referring to a wedding feast, which was a central social event in the lives of Israelites, because they didn't do it like we do it. Us fathers spend multiple thousand dollars on a 45-minute ceremony. The Jews would spend a week feasting and celebrating, and people loved it. And what Jesus is saying is it's time to celebrate. And I've got to tell you, when people ask about the good old days, what was one of the central things that kept you together? Well, of course, Jesus. But it was fun. I'm serious. It was fun. It was concerts and baptisms and summer camp and love and witnessing and worship and the word. Nobody came to church late during the Jesus movement. Nobody. You got there early. I was reminded of that pulling up into the parking lot today. I go, "Now that's the spirit." Now, something you need to know about me, I wasn't saved during the Jesus movement. I'm kind of a conglomerate. I was baptized as a child when I was 9 years old in a Baptist church. I accidentally got saved in a Methodist church. I really had an encounter with the Holy Spirit when I was in a Presbyterian youth group and knew that I was called to the ministry from that day on. So that would make me a Bapto-Presbymeth with a side of vineyard thrown in for educational purposes. No rabbit trail there. Now, here was my problem with that. I was a young man. I was 17, and the only church I had seen was formal. So I knew, and it was non-negotiable, that I was called to the ministry. But I didn't know what it looked like. See, all I'd seen of ministry was robes, and I thought, "God, you want me to wear a dress when I preach?" I mean, I'm just having these thoughts. It was robes and candles and bad music and boring sermons. And so I had this big void, like, okay, you've called me to ministry, but I don't know what it looks like. So I was dutiful, and I applied for a Methodist preacher's license and became a young 19-year-old Methodist youth director. And I had a handful, 50, 60 kids in the Methodist church. And I was assisting a Youth for Christ group. And the leader said, "There's this really strange church that meets over in the bean fields. And you got to keep your kids away from them. There's a hippie preacher and a balding senior pastor, and they lift their hands when they sing, and you just got to keep your kids away from there." I was there the next night. But it got worse. I brought 12 of my youth group back the next Wednesday. They got baptized in the Spirit with all the usual evidences, and I was promptly fired as a Methodist youth director and had lots of extra time on my hands to hang around the little chapel. And I met Chuck. And I met the hippie preacher, Lonnie Frisbee. And I had a lot of questions, and the basic one was, how do you do church? This is different for me. And Chuck, of course, said, teach the Bible. And I said, I can do that. He said, do it simply. I said, I am simple. That's not a problem. I came in with the dumbest idea of my life to Tommy Coombs, and who was just here with Love Song, and I said, Tommy, what a great idea. Let's put Christian lyrics to today's hit songs. And he looked me in the eye and said, why don't you write your own? Makes sense. Do I get to dress how I want? He said, yes, I can learn to like Hawaiian shirts. I can do that. Tell people about Jesus. I can tell people about Jesus. See, Chuck will be remembered as a great man of faith who let sinners and rejects into his house, into his car, into the house of God, and here we all are. You know, and in closing, Chuck really trusted the Holy Spirit to clean us up. There's many, many stories of the crazies he shared ministry with, the things that he did, the chances that he took, the investment, selfless investment into young people whose only qualification was that they were called and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Another impacting story, Chuck liked to have help when he was doing special projects, and whenever he was working on a classic car, Steve Mays got the call. When it came to something like the bathrooms or installing toilets, I got the call. And I was helping him install a toilet in the fellowship hall, the brand new fellowship hall, in the new facility. And one of the accounting people came in with a check, and it was either $130,000 or $150,000, Greg. And it was for Greg Laurie and a down payment on the Baptist church that would become Harvest Christian Fellowship. Well, Greg was 19 years old. And I've asked pastors all over the country, how much time, energy, and money would you invest in young people that you know had a call on their life? Chuck Smith recognized it in men and women of God, and he acted upon it. You know, when I say sin and he let sinners in, this is my closing remark. The word sin is based on the word harmatia, and we've been told that it means missing the mark. But if you look more deeply into the word, it means missing your destiny. Harmatia, sin, or being a sinner, means missing the purposes of God in your life. It means missing God's plan in your life. It means going a direction in life that causes you to miss God's very best. Now that's sin. God bless you. Thank you for having me.
You're listening to a tribute to Pastor Chuck Smith live from the Honda Center in Anaheim, and we're going to be hearing from Mustard Seed Faith. That's who's next on the schedule here, so they're preparing. Yep, I think they're ready now.
There's a peace that comes to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and
the grave is overwhelmed, victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when He calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
There's a day that's gone. Darkness turns to light, and the shadows disappear, and my faith should be my eye. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. I'm not long behind, you know.
in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be gone. We're going to be changed. We're going to finally see that promise. And that's where Chuck is right now. I imagine him. He used to make this great sound. He went, "Wee!" I could just see him doing that, doing swan dives off the clouds. And that's what it really is all about, really. We're going to pass away so many different ways, and we're all fearful of that and the way that we're going to pass. But the very last breath that we do breathe is going to be followed by the first breath in the kingdom. And you'll see the Lord. And you'll see Chuck. And you'll see all those heroes that we've read about in the scriptures. And we'll see Paul, the apostle. You're going to see your loved ones who were faithful. And you're going to see people that you thought never would have made it. And they thought the same thing of you. This is a song about waking up in the kingdom. The little bird wings away down from on high, through quiet green valleys and blue velvet skies, to yellow orange flowers, a kiss from her beak, away from her wings, a touch from her feet. She flies to your window and lands on the sill, looks ever gently at you lying still, with dreams of green valleys and blue velvet skies, with you walking in them, the stars in your eyes. And she begins to see. She begins to see. Wake this morning. Light fills your window and touches your eyes. Your lashes do flutter, and to your surprise, the world has unfolded like petals on roses do open when dawn brings the light. She begins to see. Wake this morning. Yes, she begins to see. Wake this morning. Now you wander outside to the once barren land, the lily white lilies, the golden bright sand, the lamb and the lion laid down by the stream. You are the child to lead them in peace, and on every tree the garden's delight. The day never ends, there's never a night. And walking towards you is Jesus the King, standing beside him, most precious thing. Coming soon. God bless you.
You're listening to a tribute to Pastor Chuck live from Southern California, and we pause now for station identification.